Australian Hotels Association. Bradley, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
Tough day for your industry.
A terrible day for the industry. Never in the history of this country since the Rum Rebellion have we had to shut bars, pubs, restaurants on premise for what is going to be an interminable period of time. 40,000 people across the state, we estimate, will lose their jobs today, Gareth. 40,000 people is more than you know, two-thirds of the stadium.
It's a lot of people who, who knows how they will individually respond. Obviously, the Treasurer and the Prime Minister made some announcements about that yesterday, although I'm getting reports, and we've heard them on this radio station already today, that Centrelink queues, physical queues, are very long, and that the MyGov website might be struggling.
We understand that to be the case. We've offered to the federal government to provide an alternative system, and that is to provide welfare payments through payroll of existing businesses, but that so far hasn't been given any consideration, and instead we're reverting to websites crashing and people queuing up for days on end outside Centrelink.
So that's actually an offer you've made to government, is it?
We would continue to pay the staff their welfare payments through a business, keep them in the system, ensure that they're provided with a service of, pastoral care as well. But at this stage, no one's interested in that because Treasury know best.
Okay. So do you think that there will be scope to further explore that?
We hope so, because I cannot see how 900,000 people who are losing their jobs across the country today in the tourism and hospitality sector are going to get serviced by a very small public service.
That's already pretty stretched. Doing what it does on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I'm really fearful that there are people out there that are going to find this all too hard, and it's going to have bedlam, and there's got to be a much simpler way of doing this. We've made the offer to the Commonwealth at a national level to support the process, to assist where we can. It's time for the egos of public servants in Treasury to move on and for them to look at practical outcomes that are better accommodating the needs of people who need to put food in their mouth and pay their rent.
How many businesses will be able to maintain some level of operations? The cafe next to us, for example, here at 882 6PR, the rules apply from noon. They had already applied them from when they opened at 7 o'clock this morning. They're doing takeaways only. They're asking, they've got lots of signs up asking people to keep their distance.
Obviously, every business that has an on-premise food operation can be given consideration to the takeaway or delivery opportunity. It'll depend on the configuration and the nature of that business and how fast they can get an ordering system in place. Obviously, with Deliveroo and Uber Eats, there are options there, but many businesses are trying to convert with an online ordering system or providing other options such as messaging or even orders on Facebook. So we'll see what happens. It'll be an evolving process over the next week. And of course, a lot of these businesses don't have takeaway containers. It's not their normal business. So we are obviously encouraging and working with our corporate suppliers who have that type of product to see what they can do about expediting availability of that as well, because it's the public who are needing. I mean, just think about today, Gareth. What would we normally do if we didn't bring our lunch in? We'd go out and grab a sandwich or something at a local cafe, and that's just not an option now.
Okay. 922-11882. If you are in the industry, I want to hear from you. Gyms, cinemas, whatever it may well be. How are you adapting? How are you coping? What do you need? The federal government obviously announced measures to support all businesses, Bradley, and we're going to go through them in some detail later in the program after 11 with Peter Switzer. But do you expect venue owners to take those up? And what sorts of discussions are your members having with landlords, for example?
Well, this is a critical issue. Obviously, we need flexibility. We need flexibility around this issue in terms of suspension of operations with landlords. Some landlords are in a position to do that. Some are not, because they rely on that income as their income as well. It's going to differ from circumstance to circumstance. Critically, the support announced by the Commonwealth yesterday, yep, there are some upfront payments for businesses depending on their turnover, but they are limited because most of the package was devolved around support to businesses via a retention or rebate of PAYE tax earnings. And that option which was based on what the staff's payroll tax would, what payroll would be, and the tax that's retained disappears if your business is shut. So that's obviously a fundamental flaw now that all of the hotel and hospitality industry on-premise activity is to be shut. Obviously, the other factor which we should talk about is accommodation. Hotels will remain open for accommodation with limited services only for food, only for those guests staying in those hotels. We've got some people who are stranded here from overseas and interstate, and those people who are self-isolating, and we've got to continue to provide them with a service as well. And some of these hotels will be looking at moving to a Medi-Hotel facility, and we are working with the state government on a range of properties that are interested in that, as well as hotels that are offering the self-isolation option as well.
How many properties or how many rooms are the government talking about? The Premier sort of put the bare bones of that process on the table yesterday. Do you know how extensively they want to go with this?
Hopefully as few as possible, Gareth. It all depends on how broad the virus goes.
Okay, but nothing's off the table.
No, look, I think that we will work to support the community, and we will work to try and make sure that the health system is got the infrastructure in place. Obviously, this is a dire situation for the nation, and the hotel industry stands ready to help wherever we can. We've had enormous offers overnight. We went out to our members yesterday afternoon, asked them to indicate to us if they wanted or were able to offer that type of accommodation service. It's not easy to convert over to a Medi-Hotel, obviously, and there will have to be special provisions and staff in place. But the isolation type hotel is a different situation where guests basically stay in a room for a period of time. I think the biggest issue at the moment is supporting our industry deal with the next 24, 48 hours of shutdown. There's a lot of staff who are obviously concerned and worried, but we know that Australians will back each other. The system is there. The Commonwealth's got to work with the whole range of parties to make this happen. We can't rely on the old ways of doing business, and that is just lining up at Centrelink. We've got to be innovative in these times, and the same with providing support to our business sector who are trying to sustain businesses. We don't want to see small, medium enterprises, small, medium hotels, family businesses get struck out with another knife in the belly just because bureaucracy gets it wrong and doesn't listen. We are pushing hard at a federal and state level to advocate for the industry's interests, but also to keep the bottle shops and the liquor stores open so the public can still get a bottle of wine, or a few bottles of wine and a couple of cartons of beer. But again, we are facing opposition where we will be the only state that has restrictions because the police want restrictions in Western Australia.
Okay, that's going to be an unfolding one to watch. Bradley, thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks, Gareth. Cheers.
Bradley Wood, CEO, Australian Hotels Association.